We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction. On the trolley back alley, heading through some Nutmeg Function. All the people we see and the places we go, we'll have you right back by the end of the show. We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction.
Welcome to Nutmeg Junction. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. We begin season two of our audio theater Golden Age of Radio style program by paying homage to the work of the great humorist P.G. Wodehouse and our loving parody that posits the question, how would the aristocratic world of a gadfly nephew and his gentleman's gentleman handle an apocalyptic world filled with vampires, werewolves, zombies, ghosts, and more? The answer is found in our two-part episode entitled Giles and Brewster and the Monster Apocalypse. Please enjoy part one.
Good evening, Giles.
Sir?
Why, I beg your pardon, terribly sorry, old chap. I mean, what ho, Giles? Is Brewster in?
Forgive me, Mr. Knitfoddle, but it seems your cuspids have grown in length and sharpened since your last visit. Are they not?
Oh, these old things? They're certainly a conversation piece, say what?
Of that, I'm sure.
I've come to discuss a matter of some delicacy relating to a certain obligation to your master. Would you be so kind as to invite me in? It's a bit embarrassing to discuss this matter in the hall, don't you know?
If I might take the trouble to call sir's attention to the garlic cloves that adorn our vestibule, and question whether these garlands give sir any pause for discomfort?
Never mind, Giles. Of course, I can pop in some other time, eh, what?
Very good, sir.
Was that Gussie Knitfoddle? The blighter still owes me 10 quid from the snooker competition at the club.
I fear Mr. Knitfoddle has fallen victim to what the Germans call Nosferatu. Perhaps the idea of discussing an obligation was but a subtle ruse of obtaining proximity to you for something on a different vein, if you catch my meaning.
Going for the jugular, eh? It's not like Gussie to go for the jugular about anything. Not even in a snooker competition. That being said, what's there to discuss, except for whether one's pockets are too full to receive the pounds or not, and I should say my pockets have never been so arranged as to say no to that concept.
Perhaps if any discussion was to be enjoyed at all, it would have been in regards to the fact that he is no longer, how shall we say, among the living, and therefore he may be unwilling to satisfy the debt at this stage.
Tut, tut! Do you note that I am tutting, Giles? Not particularly at you, mind, but certainly within the general milieu, if I'm saying that correctly.
I have heard the utterances, sir, but much to my chagrin.
Chagrin indeed. Think, man, do the vows of a gentleman's wager ever say, till death do us part?
It's not a common phrase, I should think.
I should think it is not. Perhaps it is found in the marital vows, but a gentleman's wager is made of sterner stuff. Still, it's a good thing that the sort of vampire fellow needs an invite before invading one's domicile. We wouldn't want undead Knitfoddles about, would we?
Surely not, sir. However, that precept is but a superstition. I fear an invitation is merely a courtesy and not law for such creatures.
It stopped Knitfoddle, didn't it?
Mr. Knitfoddle is still a gentleman, sir, undead or not.
Ah, you can take the life out of a gentleman, but not the gentleman out of the undead. Good form on Knitfoddle, anyway. It's almost worth forgiving the debt. Almost.
Almost indeed, sir. But it brings to one's attention a more dire predicament.
More dire than being undead? Or worse, 10 pounds short?
Mr. Knitfoddle was betrothed to a Marion Badgewood, was he not?
Good Lord, yes. The Badgewood betrothal. Better him than me. The Badgewoods are the only perpetrators of musical entertainment who fail to identify pitch, tone, and timing as essential ingredients of said entertainment. Marion Badgewood in particular believes knowing the words alone is enough to justify her inclusion in a musical interlude, and I can assure you, Giles, it most assuredly is not.
Indeed, sir.
There's nothing like having your favorite song twisted through the broken turkey baster known as the Marion Badgewood larynx. Now I understand why Gussie Knitfoddle chose the fortunes of the undead.
I do recall that there was a second, a runner-up, as it were, as it pertains to the affections of the young lady from Devonshire.
Heavens, Giles, you don't mean...
I fear so, sir. Now that Miss Badgewood is unattached, she will look on others for more favorable attention.
We should book passage to America and get out of these Badgewood crosshairs immediately.
I'll begin the packing at once, sir.
Knitfoddle is back again. Tell him that he can keep his £10 if he goes back to Devonshire. Maybe Marion will like his cuspids this way. I can't imagine she liked the originals, at any rate.
Is my layabout nephew up yet, Giles? I know it's 8 o'clock at night, but with all the undead about nowadays, with Woody, one would hardly notice the difference.
Aunt Agnes, I've been up for hours.
Hours? Plural, Giles?
We had a rather unsettling visit from a Mr. Knitfoddle earlier, Mum.
Now that's speaking of the undead, from what I hear. Too many vampires about in London nowadays. That's why you need to go to Buxomly, Woody.
Buxomly? I couldn't possibly, old thing. As a matter of fact, Giles and I were just planning on a trip stateside.
Nonsense. You'll do nothing of the sort. You'll go to Buxomly as guests of the Chenningtons. Lord and Lady Chennington will be expecting you, as will their daughter, Gloria.
Gloria Chennington? She's a werewolf now, isn't she?
But in the best of all families, she'll make something of you, Woody.
Make me another werewolf, apparently.
She turns just one night every 30 days. You can find ways to avoid each other one night, can't you?
Make it every night, and I can avoid the whole ordeal entirely.
The Chenningtons will be expecting you, Woody, and... if I hear any differently, you will be cut off.
Come, come. Favorite aunt and all?
I'm serious this time. We had high hopes of a serious marriage in a suitable arrangement. Now your most favored quality is having a pulse. Don't squander that, Woodrow.
I say!
That will be all, Woodrow. Now, if you don't mind, I'll convene here for the night. Best to travel in daylight, don't you know?
Your room is ready as always, Mum.
Thank you, Giles. I shall retire for the evening. Good night to you all. And go to bed early, Woodrow. You have a trip to Buxomly tomorrow.
Buxomly, Giles! These are the times that try men's souls.
Your fortitude is admirable, sir. We will journey on the morrow.
I'm Commander Alex of Space Sentries. If you're like me and trapped in your quarters on your spaceship due to a faulty locking mechanism on your space door, then you'll want audio entertainment too. That's why I listen to Nutmeg Junction, America's new old-time radio audio theater program, right here on this station.
Nothing like a ride in the countryside to put certain Badgewood troubles in perspective, eh, Giles?
That's certainly one viewpoint, sir.
Well, the prospect of being engaged to either Marion Badgewood or Gloria Chennington is a bit much. Sort of being stuck between Scylla and Charybdis.
Aptly put, sir.
Forgive me, Giles. seem unusually curt this morning.
It is not my intention, sir. It's simply a challenge to drive the motor car and fend off the advancing zombies on this stretch of road.
Yes, they do seem to be out in abundance today, don't they? Still, getting back to this Gloria Chennington business, I'm not sure the Brewster lineage would be improved by the touch of the lycanthrope persuasion, would it?
I wonder if I might trouble, sir, to hold the steering wheel steady for just a moment.
Ah, yes, jolly good, here we are.
Thank you, sir. Sir, it appears another motor car is approaching rather quickly. And there appears to be a young lady behind the wheel.
Ah, then let us share the road and let her pass. She might be scared out of her wits with these zombies attacking the motor cars.
I'm not sure that's the case. She appears to be laughing.
Ah, Brewster, thought it was you. Still letting your manservant have all the fun?
Guinevere Chuttle! Enjoying a spot of fresh air, I take it?
Oh, that, and dispatching zombies with all speed. It's so much fun. Simply adore it. Are you going to Buxomly Court? Oh, please do. It'll be such a crashing bore without you.
Oh, rather.
Sir, if I could have a moment of your time on the wheel.
Oh,
please, Giles. Allow me.
I say, great shot, Guinevere. That's the stuff.
See you at Buxomly. I'll clear the path for you. Ta!
Tickety-boo and all that.
The young lady is adept at a crossbow.
Yes, I fancied her at one point, but her mother put me off. Distinctly disapproved of the Brewster wit, don't you know? And I can't say the matron passed muster on my end either. She smelled vaguely like pickled herring.
Sir, we are approaching Buxomly Court, and the servants await us at the gate.
Looks like they've had their share of zombie-seeking entrance this morning. Bit of a mess.
Can't be helped, I suppose.
Good morning!
Welcome to Buxomly. You've been expected, sir.
Pip and all, it's Butterby, isn't it? You were the valet last time I was here.
There was a vacancy, sir.
Ah, bit of that nowadays, eh, what? Giles, would you...
The bags will be handled accordingly, sir.
I'll make my entrance, then.
Is that Woody Brewster? What's he doing here, Mama?
Gloria, dear thing, and Lady Chennington. Why, I was led to believe that I was expected, but certainly if that's our error, we will take our leave, and with good tidings to all at Buxomly, and say no more about it.
Dear, I thought I'd mentioned it. Dame Agnes recommended her nephew's visit to enjoy some of the country air.
And to get away from the London clubs, no doubt. Walk with me, Woody. I was just about to stroll the grounds. You would like to stroll the grounds with me, wouldn't you?
Oh, rather.
Don't get the wrong idea, Woody. You're most welcome, but I don't mind telling you that I was rather hoping for Snort Carmichael to make his return to Buxomly. His institute's within an hour's walk of here. Sadly, I found you instead. You don't blame me for being disappointed, do you? I mean, that development would put anyone off now. No offence, of course.
Yes, I see what you mean. Snowed Carmichael. Wasn't he altered in some way recently? He's got boats on two sides of his head, sort of lumbers around with arms outstretched and all that business.
Large hands, large... feet. Yes.
Not much of a conversationalist nowadays, is he? Sort of grunts, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, but he did that before the operation.
See what you mean. Snowd would have his glass of port and grunt any time someone mentioned the central government or taxes.
So you see, it's a disappointment to have you here in his stead.
Yes, indeed. I see what you mean even more so now.
I know you love me desperately and are just putting on a brave face.
Desperately, of course. But what can one do when there's a Snowd mucking about with his feet and all?
So happy we could clear the air. Let's go inside and see about a slice of kidney pie.
Is that you, Toppers?
I should hope it's me, Woody. Or should I be someone else?
I did not know you knew Winthrop Topsmid of the Morse Hollow Topsmids.
Old Toppers? Quite. Back in the day at university, we were the practical funsters, weren't we?
Oh, yes.
Remember that one time when you opened all the cages in the science lab? All sorts of bats and rats and mice and things, even a wolf or two. Nasty bit of business, what? Bunch of biters, weren't they?
Oh, no, Winthrop, you didn't.
Guilty as charged.
Did the poor things get into any trouble with any of the other experiments, like chemicals or other fluids in the lab?
Who knows? Once the monster apocalypse reared its ugly head, there was no way of finding out, I'm afraid.
Water under the bridge, eh, Toppers?
Quite.
Speaking of funsters, Woody, meet me on the veranda after dinner. I have a roaringly smashing idea that will be so much fun.
Oh, rather. Guinevere, I'm all ears.
I believe Lord Chinnington will say the blessing before the meal.
We in this house are blessed. For it takes hard work to earn the blessing we so richly deserve. Amen.
Yes, quite.
Did you enjoy your walk in the garden with our Gloria, Mr. Brewster?
Lovely flora and fauna and other shrubbery about, I believe, at what?
We talked about Mr. Carmichael, Mama.
Snowd, yes, a wonderful fellow, deep thinker. Certainly one who subscribes to the philosophy, less said the better.
Balderdash. He's a reanimated monster.
Papa, don't hold that against him.
The only thing I'd hold against him would be a torch if he came my way.
Papa, I just can't bear it.
She's such a delicate young lady. Very emotional, in the best possible way, of course. Emotions can be quite becoming, can they not, Mr. Brewster?
Certainly. Depending on the lunar calendar, she can be frightfully becoming or something else entirely, eh? What?
Someone should go after her to make sure she's all right, Mr. Brewster.
Yes, yes. Oh, me? Before the custard tart, even? I mean, excuse me, won't you? I shan't be a moment. Toppers, want to tag along, old boy?
Woody, really? Custard tart, man.
Of course. My apologies. I shan't be long. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Brewster. How thoughtful.
Where is Tex Bijou?
Howdy.
Are you ready to promote the Nutmeg Junction program?
Well, I reckon.
Whoa there! I should have used the segue. Tex Bijou, cinema singing cowboy, TM, gets his choice of stories to promote.
Would you like to promote Professor A, adjunct professor to the universe?
Well, now,
Harriet Holmes?
Well, I...
Inspector Trompe-l'Oeil? Space Sentries? The Grey Whisper?
Well, ma'am, I'm just a simple singing cowboy, but I'll promote all of them by promoting the radio program Nutmeg Junction, America's new old-time radio audio theater program right here on this station.
Giles, man, good lord. I'm glad to have found you.
I'm edified to hear that, sir. From the tone of your voice, there appears to be a specific cause of satisfaction in locating my presence, rather than a general merriment of fortuitous happenstance.
Indeed, Giles. I've been sent out on an errand to locate Gloria Chennington, and I'm missing out on custard tart.
I'm sure the chef, Javier, would be more than happy to preserve a portion in the freeze box for midnight feasting.
The more immediate feasting I'm concerned about involves a full moon and one rather unhappy Gloria Chennington. I'm right in assuming tonight is, of all nights, a full moon?
I'm afraid so, sir.
Such is the Brewster luck, eh, Giles? My happiness is ever the empty dish in the dog days of life.
Surely not, sir.
Then what, pray tell, do you recommend, Giles? Silver bullets? I couldn't possibly use those even if I had them. I am, after all, a guest in the Chennington home.
Here in this garden, see over there. Do you see the wolfsbane, a particular plant from the Ranunculaceae family?
I hardly think giving a girl some flowers at a time like this would do the trick, Giles. She has her heart set on Snowd, if you recall. It's not the milieu I wish to create, if I'm saying that correctly.
You are, sir, in this instance. But note the flower is not a gift. The wolfsbane is poisonous. Extremely poisonous. In fact, it is better not to touch it, if one can manage. But the circumstances in this case demand swift action.
Fortunately for us, you wear gloves, Giles.
Indeed. I shall gift them to you when I am done. We shall place the wolf's bane on each forearm, here and here. Now, if sir would kindly wear these gloves.
We are but a squire and his knight preparing for battle, Giles.
Indeed, sir. Now, the lady in lupine form should recognize the wolf's bane and give pause to any plan of attack.
So now you leave me to it.
I shall prepare some tea for your return.
Positive thinking for you. What ho, glory old thing! It's Woody! Come to see what all the fuss is about! I should warn you, I'm simply covered in wolf's bane! Not a great meal, even if you do enjoy your greens before the main course. Ah, there you are! Just as even-tempered as ever, Gloria. My word, you're looking, rather large. That came out wrong. Obviously not talking weight, but rather the whole size as it relates to length. Height, that is. Don't come too close. Mustn't even brush against the wolf's bane. Yes, the bane of a wolf's existence. I get it now. There it is.
No, don't prattle on, Woody.
Oh, you can talk in this form. My word. I rather thought this would be a one-sided conversation, but then again, some of my best conversations are, you know.
Mind your tongue. In this form, I do feel like lashing out with violence against you. I mean, more than usual, of course.
Indeed. You left the table rather distressed, and I was rather... I came to see if you were, all right. Are you, all right?
Snoad will never accept me in this form.
There. I doubt he'd voice that opinion. Then again, he's barely voiced anything prior to, how shall we say, his reinvention.
I suppose there's nothing for it. Snoad and I are lost to the ages. I shall have to accept your hand as a poor second.
To eat? Might I remind you the hand is perilously close to this wolfbane?
I would not eat it, Woody. Not you either.
Thank the stars for that.
I mean, your hand in marriage. We should have a spring wedding, I should think. I would have thought the scream of fear would have occurred when I arrived as a werewolf, Woody.
Fear? No, heaven forbid. No, not at all, no. I was just stunned by the, happy news. Say, what's that noise? Is that a bat?
Brewster! Outdoors at night, are you? Finally, at last, I have you.
Nitfoddle! Came to settle accounts? This is hardly the time.
Only in a matter of speaking. At every competition at the club, you have bet against me and won. I resent that, Brewster.
It's not my fault. You always back the wrong horse, as it were. You gotta see my old man?
Don't! My good man, me. My accounts have been sucked dry, and I came to address the issue.
Back away from him, Nitfuttle. He is my fiancé.
I beg your pardon terribly. I did not see you there. I may be a bit myopic at times. A werewolf, Gloria. Rather fetching, if you don't mind me saying.
Hold your tongue, sir, or you will have no invitation to the nuptials.
Why is it everyone but the werewolf has to hold their tongues?
Oh, indeed, an invitation, smashing. Well. This is rather awkward, but felicitations of good tidings and all.
There's still the matter of the 10 quid, Nitfoddle.
Oh, apologies, I must dash. I think I hear the children of the night calling me and all that sort. Toodaloo.
I doubt we shall invite him to the ceremony.
To what? Yes.
You have my permission to kiss your betrothed goodnight, Woodrow.
Don't wish the wolf's bane to brush against you. Well, we shall just wish ourselves happy thoughts.
Don't be silly.
Mm-hmm.
Are you whimpering, Woodrow?
Just with happiness.
And now I must feed.
Javier has made a wonderful custard tart.
Into the night until dawn. We shall announce our engagement in the morning.
Ah, sir, I see you made it back. So your discussion with Miss Chennington was a success.
Far from it. You have another pair of gloves on. Would you mind doing the honors and removing the wolfsbane? There's not enough wolfsbane that can save me now.
Oh, so, sir. Does Miss Chennington plan violence against you?
Worse, Giles. It seems Gloria Chennington and I are engaged.
This has been Nutmeg Junction, Season 2, Episode 1. Giles and Brewster and the Monster Apocalypse was written, created, and produced by J. Timothy Quirk. The program was recorded at WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. The program starred David Macarelli as Woodrow Brewster, Josh Newey as Giles, Lana Peck as Gloria Chennington, Shannon Sniffen as Guinevere Chuttle, Jandy Hanna as Aunt Agnes, Kurt Boucher as Toppers, Olivia Wadsworth as Lady Chennington, and J. Timothy Quirk as Butterby and Gussie Knitfoddle. Nutmeg Junction theme song created and performed by Robert C. Fullerton, copyright 2018. Additional music and sound courtesy of YouTube royalty-free music. Please tune in next time for the conclusion, part 2 of Giles and Brewster and the Monster Apocalypse. In season 2, we will continue to bring you more unique adventures, including more of the Grey Whisper, space entries, Tex Bijou, and all of your favorite characters. Until next time, we hope you enjoyed the ride, and may all of your journeys bring you back to a happy home.
It is I, Inspector Trombloy, and I have discovered something extraordinary. Have I not, Mademoiselle Croissant?
You have, Inspector. Well done.
Merci beaucoup. We have discovered Nutmeg Junction, America's new old-time radio audio theater program, right here. On this station.
Tune in to this station every week to hear the adventures of your favorite characters, from the somewhat brave space explorers and space entries to the hard-boiled detective yarns of Harriet Holmes, and yes, even the murder mysteries of the enigmatic Inspector Trumploil and her companion Mademoiselle Croissant, only on Nutmeg Junction, America's new old-time radio program.